Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mindfulness Mother Radio Show. I am your host, Janine Prue. Motherhood is a 24/7, 365 days a year job. Our mission is to help support mothers as they face every day with love, kindness, compassion, respect, honor, and insight. The Mindfulness Mothers Radio Show creates space for connection and community with tips and tools for mindful parenting on each show from the world's leading experts in the field of parenting, motherhood, education, self-care, mindfulness, and more. Before we do our introduction and our breathing, I just want to let you know today's guest is Rick Morrison. He is the co-author of The Hug Story, which is inspired by the true story of a five-year-old girl, his daughter Shayna, who, when asked for a hug from her grandfather, told her grandfather that she was all out of hugs and had to go to the store to get more. It's a beautiful self-discovery story that illustrates how life's greatest gifts can never be bought and instead always found deep within us. The Hug Story is endorsed by several nationally recognized healthcare professionals and features a list of over a dozen reasons why hugs are not only healthy for our body, mind, and well-being, but why they are essential for it. Welcome, Rick. Good to have you.
Janine, thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
We'll go ahead and do our breathing real quick, and then we have 30 minutes jam-packed full to talk about everything. Probably we'll
Wonderful.
All right, we'll go ahead and start with our breathing. I breathe in, I breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I breathe in, I breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I breathe in, I breathe out. Just for today, that is enough. I am enough. I am enough. I am enough. Just for today, I breathe in, I breathe out. Great. That brought us back to center and brought us back to mindfulness here in the mindful moment before we have a whole bunch of fun. Welcome, Rick. Good to have you.
Yeah. Thank you, Janine. Thanks for the breathing, too. Nice way to start it off.
Yeah. It's always good to come back. We get in that whole flurry of getting ready for the show and posting on social media and all the fun stuff. And I always love doing an opening and a closing because it just kind of bookends both of it and reminds us to just bring it back to center. So cool. Well, I am so excited about this book. I bought your book, and I would love to hear the story of how this happened, because as an author and someone who has been writing and wanting to publish since she was 7 years old, I'd love to hear how you supported your daughter and how this whole book came about. How did it start?
Yeah. Well, it started on long before it was ever the intention to write a book. It just started as you were mentioning, a story of us visiting Michigan, where my family is from, at Thanksgiving. And, you know, my parents, Shauna's grandparents, not, you know, getting to see them that often. You know, she's a small child. She doesn't know them. There's that kind of, you know, reacquaintance, you know, awkwardness that happens. And my father, you know, her grandfather kind of was like, I want a hug. You know, I haven't seen you in so long. I miss you. Give me a hug. And you know, she was just being who she is. And instead of just, you know, kind of keeping it at arm's length, she actually said, yeah, I'm all out of hugs, Grandpa. I'll go to the store and get you some more. And I just was like, where did that come from? And as everything with children, you know, they're just infinitely creative. And there was no idea to do a book at that point. It was just something that kind of, you know, fermented in my mind. And I had asked Shauna about it. And, you know, it was several months later where I thought, wow, that would actually be a really cool story to tell about somebody who actually was trying to look for a hug, you know, something we all know that we can't go to a store and buy, but what if you could? What if, you know, and children, anything, you know, can happen. And so that was how the story was built. And Shauna and I kind of started, you know, picking stores, and we did it as a collaborative effort. Like, what stores would, you know, a five-year-old, she was actually four when we started, you know, what kind of stores would they go to? And it was the stores they were familiar with, you know, where mommy and daddy take them. And so that's kind of how the book, you know, turned out. But we were never really planning to publish it. It was more, at least from my perspective, it was a book that I would do with her that would be for her and really an heirloom, a story that, like, we could read at night, but something that she could read to her children at night. That was really the intention early on. But the more I explored what the story was actually about, and, you know, I thought this really should be shared with every child. So that's kind of, you know, the sort of condensed brief, you know, how this came about.
That's very cool. Yeah, and I have, I'm going back in my mind of all the things my nieces and nephews and other kids have said. There's some of them that just, they stick with you. You know, my one niece, one asked us, she was going to bed right around that age, you know, where do dreams live? You know, and I wrote a whole poem about it. And there's some of those wisdoms that just stick with you, and they just like, yeah, you know, and they ferment and they become something else. It's amazing that you are giving parents and teachers and caregivers and children an opportunity to talk about appropriate touch and inappropriate touch as well, because, that unfamiliarity with a grandparent or someone else, you know, and that the assumption of, you know, that a child is required to hug no matter what, right? And yet at the same time, hugging is, especially an American thing, to our international audience, is critical for human development. That touch, you know, if babies are not held or touched, they will die, you know, and we need to have that physical affection as human beings. And starting the conversation on what that means in life and everything, this book is a wonderful way to do that. On top of, you know, the idea that things that we give away come from inside, too. And that children have a choice, you know, what's inside and what to give. So when a child does give you a hug in that spontaneous moment, as we know, it is so wonderful. It really does mean so much, you know, when they open up and trust you and are able to, just give you a hug. So in terms of where this book has taken you, because now it has taken you on a journey.
It has.
You started the journey with your daughter.
I had no idea where I had no idea that I'd ever write a book, let alone a children's book, and be on this, you know, bigger, broader umbrella of conscious parenting and, you know, and unity and inclusivity. That's all, you know, really part of it. But it's all becomes, you know, it becomes what it becomes through awareness. And that was the, you know, the thing with all the children. How can we keep their awareness at the level that they're born with, you know? And, you know, as we all know, we have, the older we are, the more work we have to do to get back to that center point and that beginning point. And, you know, they have it. So let's keep them as close to it as they can. And then they're just more in their authentic nature and their transparent self. And then they'll, you know, they'll thrive. They'll be more creative. They'll be, you know, more balanced and more happy.
Yeah, and I love that. That's the possibility path for parents that I do program. It is all about parents on this, you know, discovering their own childhood stuff versus how they're parenting, you know, and that sort of thing at the same time, getting to know their kids. And it's amazing how even like the story of how the Hug Store book started, we tell kids how to behave in the world. You know, we're here to teach them and to guide them. But a lot of that ends up killing parts of ourselves. The International Child Art Foundation that I'm affiliated with, that's all about that 12-year-old stage where art gets killed. because, you know, they're told, you know, oh, art doesn't make money, or art's not worth it, or you're not good enough, you know, and that comparison to other kids and all of that stuff begins on that journey, you know, right about 7 years on. So that innocent mm-hmm. time, you know, right around 5 years old is my favorite age. And where they just are, that's mindfulness, you know, that's truly mindfulness. Yeah.
Right, right. And that's, I mean, the book came right at the perfect time. And I guess that's just, you know, how it always should come. You know, it comes when it's ready to come. But, you know, it came at a time where I think it's really made Shauna a more conscious and aware person, because not only because writing the book, but because she was able to actually, you know, be aware. And that's what it all comes down to is, you know, children being so aware. They're more aware than we are. And, you know, Dr. Shefali, who was kind enough to endorse this book, she always talks about that clash of time zones in her latest book. And it's an mm-hmm. interesting reference, because children are always in the moment and we're always in the future or the past. And so it's these time mm-hmm. zones that clash, and, you know, they're right there. And if we tap into to them being right there, we often will be right there too. So they're our greatest teachers. And that is also part of this journey that I'm realizing, you know, besides doing a book and all the things that are going around, you know, getting the book out there to the world, it's that I'm learning to be a much more conscious human being, parent, and everything because of how co-raised my daughter. So it's so exciting.
Isn't it crazy that the consciousness, which I say that we are on the cusp of the age of consciousness. You know, we had the industrial age, the information age, and now it's like the age of consciousness. And, you know, mindfulness is now the new buzzword and everything. And it is all about just becoming aware. I mean, because we are reactionary so much in our world, especially in our world today. You know, we are so reactionary. Or even, you know, and go back to the story of how the hug store was written, you know, that we react to the children's behavior instead of just taking a moment and taking a breath and just sitting with it and watching, you know, and
right.
watching the kids as they process life and watching them as they absorb life and watching them as they enjoy it. We're so much into, okay, we got to go here, we got to go there, we got to da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and becoming
right.
aware of just, yeah, the dance.
And even if they're not enjoying it, you know, we get all, you know, freaked out because, you know, we want them to be happy all the time, but it's not what life's about. You know, we have to lean into them being uncomfortable because they need to understand what that feels like. And process it in their own way and, you know, be aware of it, because those things are going to come up in their lifetime. And, you know, it's so important that, you know, and then by them doing that, it shows us how to do it. And it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. definitely a circular motion. And, you know, I hope the hug store can do for other parents and children what it's been doing for Shauna and I, because that... The real joy for me in this is actually seeing, you know, obviously seeing my daughter happy and being an author and signing books, and that's so, you know, great as a parent. But more than that, it's the people that I don't know and we don't know now that are sending us emails and talking about how this book made somebody who isn't very affectionate more affectionate. And, you know, some marriage family therapists have reached out saying this is a really good tool. And I didn't even realize those potentials of what this could be. And that discovery to me is the greatest, because it's really a healing book. I mean, it's an entertaining book, but it's a healing book at the same time.
Yeah. And you know, it made me think of, I always say my books are my babies, and it's just like children that you watch them go out in the world, and when they're little, you can control all the people who are in their world, you know, and then when they get older and, you know, a teacher at school or a parent of a friend or someone says, you know, your child is this or your child is that, or, you know, your child did this, and like it's that feeling of pride at the same time. It's like, wow, really? You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
they never, you know, they surprise you constantly, children and books, you know,
yeah.
creations that, you know, that reminds me of that poem of, you know, we are just the bow from which the arrow flies, you know, and that's really what parenting is about. And it's really what conscious parenting is about. And it's a total change from the helicopter parent or where it's been recently, that parents are completely responsible for everything their kids do. And if your kid does something wrong, it means you're a bad parent and that sort of thing. Or if they cry, it means you're a bad parent. You know, that kind of societal judgment we've had in our society, moving to more of a, no, they're individual, complete human beings on their own. They have their own opinions, their own world. You know, Shauna is, and Shauna, because that's the California, Shana is the Michigan.
Yeah.
I had a cousin named Shana, so yeah, from Detroit. So, yeah, you know, Shauna's having her own experience with being an author and experiencing it and interactions with people that you know, her own inner world with this. And everyone else is having their own individual experience with it. And to just be able to be present and pull back and be like, wow, instead of trying to control it, is hard to do, but it's really cool to watch you do that. That's very, very cool.
Thanks. I love it. We, you know, this idea of telling this story has actually, you know, inspired us to possibly even, you know, do a second and third book. We have some ideas and, you know, they'd have the same sort of theme to it, but obviously a different story. But, you know, we'll wait and see where this goes. We're having a good time, you know, in the meantime, trying to, you know, get the word out with this. And we actually, since we've done so many readings at schools, and in the community, which we love doing, and we read the book together, and that's a fun project to do. Shauna and I developed a game that we play with children called the Hug Store Game. And the last line of the book, without giving away what's, mm-hmm. you know, in the book, but it's, do you know where your hug store is? So it's kind of an active call to action game that children, and they're right at that age that you just had mentioned, you know, some of them are starting to not be so touchy-feely, and it really kind of guides them into realizing that it's okay to be that way. And it's basically the game, just in a nutshell, it's different color wristbands that children wear, and they all hold up their hand, and then like red will hug yellow, green will hug blue, and then we switch it around, and everyone's going to hug the color of the wristband, not necessarily the person. So it kind of, you know, they're seeing the wristband before they see the person, and it kind of breaks down some barriers and puts them on the edge of their comfort zone a little bit. But in doing that, we realized that after they've kind of got to know everyone through a hug, they want to keep playing and keep doing it. And, mm-hmm. you know, it just shows that, like, you know, if we stretch ourselves and put ourselves just on the edge of comfort, you know, saying hello to that stranger that's walking by in the morning, you know, if we're not comfortable talking to other people, those little things, they mean so much, and they go so far. It's that ripple effect, and that's why we like the Hug Store game, and it's great at that age to play it, and I hope you can see us play it one day.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. I know. I hope we can do a book signing here in Michigan. It would be awesome. You are in California, so maybe I will be out there later this year probably too. So, so I will let everyone know on our Facebook group and our Facebook page when all that's going to be happening in the Mindfulness Mothers
Great.
Group, the Mindfulness Mothers page. You also have a Facebook page, so everyone can find you. I will put that link on ours too. And this has, what I love about projects like this, is that with the kids and with the parents and the other and everyone, it creates a conversation which begins to introduce and unite people. And you and I have been connected through a mutual friend and colleague, and are now part of a hug consortium, which is pretty awesome. We got 10 minutes left. So would you just touch a little bit about what that is, what the purpose is, and how much fun we're having?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're always stronger in our numbers. And the idea, working with Judy Julin, who is just devoted her life to creative and inspiring ways to consciously raise children. You know, we kind of co-collaborated on this way to have a larger movement than just one voice. And, you know, we had an outpouring of just so many people wanting to be on the consortium early on, which is, you know, in and of itself just shows the momentum that this movement really has. And everyone, you know, what unites us all is basically, you know, mindfulness and the development of consciousness, but using it through hugs and touch and, you know, a couple of the, including yourself, you know, Janine, it's going to be great, but, you know, there's actually a National Hugging Day that I was unaware of until I started doing research as we were about to release the book and what day would be unique to release it. And while it didn't line up for our release date, I thought, you know, we'll do something around it. Well, you know, Kevin Zaborny, who is he's kind of the founder of this National Hugging Day, is on the consortium with us, as well as, you know, 14 other amazing entities. And, you know, we've only been doing this like a month, 6 weeks, and mm-hmm. our social media reach collectively is over 1 million, and they're, you know, and it's growing exponentially. It's mm-hmm. very, very exciting, and, you know, much more to come. And, you know, I've got some really, really, really big visions about this that are beyond, you know, our borders and, you know, set up for kind mm-hmm. of a global impact.
Well, and that's, you know, I promoted the show about being about kindness too. And I think that's really what, you know, the hug store and the idea of, you know, a National Hug Day and that sort of thing. We have become so fearful of other people in our world, period, across the world, all over the world. And that idea of connection, you know, I was raised in a family where we had international students. We had, you know, people who didn't speak English all the time in and out of my house. We had people of different religions in and out of my house mm-hmm. that lived with us and that didn't, you know, who were friends. And, you know, I was raised Catholic, but I was sent to other Bible schools, you know, to learn about the world. We traveled, even though we didn't have any money, and was taught to be open to people and to be kind to people and to not, you know, immediately shut someone down or judge someone. And so teaching the kids that, you know, of kindness and of being open. I love the game of, you know, hugging someone, mm-hmm. you know, you may not ever talk to or look at, you know, and finding compassion for people and opening the doors for that. And I love that movement and I love that idea behind it. And I think that's what people resonate with too. We've become very standoffish, you know, in our world. And it is a good thing to start uniting again and to start crossing barriers and to see people as people. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I mean, most people in the world, you know, want the same thing everybody else wants, you know, peace and, you know, family and you know, a safe place and love. I mean, so much of it is exploited by the media. And, you know, you know, the children who are reading the hug store too, I mean, they're, as much as we see the media now, that's all they're going to see. And it's really important that they know, you know, their intrinsic worth and how they can make a change, you know, just themselves. And, you know, that we're not projecting onto them, you know, what they should be, who they should be, because, you know, ultimately they're going to be creative and find ways to, you know, to help this world. I'm kind of going off on a different trajectory here, but
mm-hmm. no,
you know,
no,
I
wanted, yeah, we're going deep.
You know,
we got 5 minutes left. We go deep.
I know it's, you know, but with the consortium, my vision for this is with all of us united on this. You know, the hug is it's like music. It's a universal language. And not everybody plays an instrument. Not everybody sings. A lot of people do, and that's great. And when they play music, that's a great way to, you know, one of my favorite artists is Carlos Santana, and his music, most of it, you know, which is instrumental, you know, transcends anything and everything. You know, he's a global, you know, musician of the world.
Yeah.
And hugs are like that. Hugs are something that is a universal language, and we, you know, can use that as a channeling tool to, you know, have compassion and empathy for people. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited about this journey. It's just beginning, and I'm just realizing the journey is actually what it's all about too. I mean, there's an end goal there too in a world that works, you know, for everybody, but it's that journey that I think is going to be the most enlightening and inspiring part about it, because every day is something new that is exciting and moving this forward.
Well, and that's really what it is all about. You know, it is, you know, it's an idea that started, you know, from innocent words from a child. And, you know, and it's so funny to watch as these creations and these children take us places that we never thought we would go. And that's really the mindful moment in all of this is, you know, we can plan things out. We can, you know, this and that, and we're going to, you know, control this and whatnot. And especially in our world today, we can pretend that we're going to control it and we're going to make this happen. But the truth is that life takes us on a journey. And if we can just be conscious and aware and just watch it, it's just, it's amazing. And that's what I say. My whole life, you know, I'm going, I got this and I got my to-do list. And then I just stop and I'm like, wow, you know, like, look at this, look at human beings, look at this world, look at this, it's amazing. It's incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whoever
and it has
had
been so good. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, whoever had that quote, you know, life is what happens while you're making other plans. I don't remember, but you know, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
That line at the grocery store is an amazing time to be in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yep.
It's an opportunity, and, so.
Yes, exactly. And we have 3 minutes left, so I would love for you to tell our listeners where they can find the Hug Store, how they can buy it, how they can help the movement and be part of it and learn all about it.
Thank you. Well, the first question is like where they can find the Hug Store. Well, within, but I just had to say that because we're always looking outside of ourselves. But yeah, to go within. But they can find the Hug Store on Amazon. It's available both in hardcover and softcover. Our website is being built, but we have a lot of things going on our Facebook page, a lot of interaction, some contests, and it's become a real great tool for us while the website's being built. So please like our page on Facebook and share your content involving hugs or the power of touch and anything that you have. And we are open to doing readings. You know, eventually we'd love to get out and do a little bit of a book tour of some sorts. You know, our publisher, Veronica Lane Books, out of Venice, California, is working with us to kind of do some things like that. So hopefully we'll be able to get somewhere where we can actually meet, touch, and hug people.
Very cool. It's all about face-to-face. At the end of the day, all of our online stuff, it is that face-to-face human connection and human interaction, which really is the most powerful. So it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and I can't wait to talk to you more. We'll have to have a phone conversation on our own to discuss everything.
Yeah.
And definite visits in Michigan and Cali.
Yeah, yeah.
In California.
Stay warm and, you know, extra hugging when it's cold, right?
Yes.
Extra.
Sweater hugs and more hugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being on this show. We will absolutely put all of your information on our Mindfulness Mothers Facebook group and on our Mindfulness Mothers Facebook page. You can find that at mindfulnessmothers.com. And we look forward to hearing all of your hug stories. Thank you for joining us today. We will see you next month. All of our listeners here, we appreciate you being here. And if you did miss any of our shows, you can catch them on the replay on mindfulnessmothers.com. Have a good day, and big hugs to everybody out there.
Big hugs.